And coming up next on the stream of Free Radio Santa Cruz at freakradio.org, it's the netcast on Sunday, February 16th, of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. We're mainly going to be covering today more of the UCSC strike and sort of a few patches and snatches of different things. So stay tuned and stay with us.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
And I guess we're going to be picking it up from the UCSC protests starting on Monday that have continued all through the week by students and graduate students around the COLA for All fight, which you'll hear more students describing in detail. And some video on Instagram and Facebook of the police assault that happened a couple of days running. But things apparently cooled down later in the week, and there, of course, is a weekend sort of pause, or at least that's what I'm told is the case, and I haven't heard differently, as a so-called Führer's Day, well, they call it President's Day, weekend is happening Monday, tomorrow. If you're listening to this on Sunday the 16th, is a holiday, or a holy day, if you believe in presidents and Führers and kings and monarchs and things of that sort. Buses are going to be running, but otherwise offices are closed, particularly government offices, the library sanctuary, a sort of sanctuary, not really a sanctuary in Santa Cruz so much, but at least you can tend to go in there, and if you're well-behaved, then don't fall asleep, and, you know, look fairly middle class, or it's actually, haven't gotten a lot of reports. I've gotten some of discriminatory behavior by library staff recently, but it's not clear to me exactly whether conditions there have fundamentally improved in any kind of stable, predictable way. But there are often homeless folks in the library, and the library will be closed on Monday. I think on Sunday, today, it is open. Today there's also a Union of the Homeless meeting at 5, or there may be a Union of the Homeless meeting at 5. I don't want to be too definite about it. I think union officials would tell you that there is going to be a meeting, but they've been canceled a couple of times in the last 30 days. So, well, if you aren't getting to meet, you can talk to folks who are outside. There's a whole row of tents, or there was the last time I was down there a couple days ago, the kind of the new, I call it Camp Cooper, or the post office encampment, which police, after threatening them with get out of here because there's space up at the armory, get up there and take your tent up to the armory, they now have indoor space for tents in a rather restrictive, but definitely a change from the old get-out-at-dawn policies up at the armory. But the people who went from the Cooper encampment, or Coopertown, who tried to sign up for that because they didn't want their tents and property taken as they had threatened, they've been threatened with down at the post office area by police or rangers or good-hearted social service workers moving around trying to be so helpful. Not quite. I think it was mostly uniformed cops who made the threats. I didn't hear or see any of them, but I got secondhand reports. They were told by the folks either up at the Armory, as I understand it, or at the library where people are supposed to go apply. I think it's on Fridays. I'm not sure. Thursdays and Fridays. I may have to check in with maybe Brent might know something about that. I may give him a call and see what he has to say. Brent Adams of the Footbridge Services Program, as he now calls the Warming Center and Day and Night Storage. There's often kind of an active and vibrant culture going on for at least the 4 to 6 o'clock period when Food Not Bombs is feeding on Saturdays and Sundays right outside the main post office along, I don't know what's called Water Street or Mission Street on this side of the river, but the street that's perpendicular to Pacific Avenue and Front Street and runs across the town, past the town clock, is reportedly pretty good, and there's plenty of it. If you get there, I don't know how early you have to get there. There's often food remaining later in the meal. But anyway, it's all happening there, whether there's a union meeting or not. Call to Alicia Cool to see if she's got any business on the agenda. In fact, I think I will. Why don't we start out the phone conversation with that? I'll give her a quick phone call. You can give her a call, too. Her phone number is open to those who have concerns about these issues or want to help with the Santa Cruz Union activity that is essentially attempting to restore civil rights in Santa Cruz, stop the seizure of homeless property by police and rangers, reopen bathrooms that are closed, establish clean and homeless-run campgrounds by homeless people, in places that they don't get shut down by police or harassed by neighbors. Let's see if we can reach her. I've reached Alicia, but she was on the road, and she did have a little bit of information. There is a homeless union meeting today at 5 o'clock, as mentioned before, and the agenda hasn't been made up yet, but one of the items on the agenda is going to be a video of homeless folks locally with holding up signs about their situation and presumably informing the community about what's happening above and beyond the usual rather hostile or irrelevant or needle-ridden narrative you can get from the mainstream press, mainstream media, and so forth. So hopefully she'll be giving us a call later in the show to give us more details, or you can go down there yourself and see what's happening at 5. Or you can give her a call at 431-7766, and she may have more updates. This whole program is being recorded the day before, but I'm acting as though it's Sunday, so that you won't get muddled, even if it's a bit muddling. Fine with Keith McHenry, who's there, hanging out at the Food Not Bombs meal. Hello, Keith.
Hi, welcome to my world.
And what's going on down there? Are people actually eating food?
People are eating food. We've had a really good haul on the, free stuff to give away. That's been really good. We've had a lot of food that a lot of people are eating. We have literature. A lot of people have come by and just hung out and talked to us. That's been good.
And to clarify this for people, since I'm already muddling them, this is all happening on Saturday, this particular conversation we're having today. But you've been active for the last week, Keith, up on campus, and I guess the strike is continuing. Do you have any updates on what's going on up there?
Well, I know the one person today came up and said that they're now going, Janet Napolitano or maybe the chancellor, is threatening to fire all the striking workers. So that's the newest news that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, and then I know that Janet Napolitano herself, like, said a bunch of stuff on to ABC News against the strikers and against the illegal strike and so on. So that happened also.
Campus?
And we've been trying to help the woman, mm-hmm. Rochelle Lamb, who was kind enough to help us get water for everybody at the strike, and she got arrested. That was on Monday. So
clarify clarify that a little. We talked about that before, but I'm a little bit unclear as to what she was arrested for and what I mean, did she, I don't know, break into somebody's office and strong arm people into giving her water? I mean, what was the deal?
The issue was that she went around some Public Works Department officials who were raking leaves on Bay, and they said that the road was blocked, but I just told them that they that we knew that the road was blocked, but we were just taking water up to the strike. And so then when we arrived, the police surrounded the vehicle and ordered her out of the vehicle, and then when she went to turn the engine off, she reached back in to turn the engine off, she got arrested pretty roughly. And then a lot of people started coming around, and they were pretty surprised by what was happening. And before long, like dozens of cops were there, and they're shoving and pushing people to the ground, and because they were then surrounding the police car where she was like being held.
Where was this all happening?
And that happened at the main gate, which would be High Street and Bay Street outside of the University of California in Santa Cruz.
Now, did the water ever get to the people that it was supposed to get to?
Yep, it did make it. Yeah, oddly enough, there was kind of some division within the police force, and one cop actually gave me her keys to her car, and another cop actually got the water out of the car and gave it to other supporters who then put the water on the bomb's table. So that was what was going on there. And then we issued the National Union of the Homeless put out a letter in solidarity with the striking workers, which was heavily shared this morning.
Hmm.
And so that has happened. And I wrote a letter to some kind of hearing board about suspending Rochelle Lamb for 14 days from college.
You opposed it.
Yeah, so I opposed that. Mm-hmm. You know, explain what had happened and so on. So that was, I don't know the outcome of that hearing yet. So that was good. And so, yeah, then there was like all kinds of things like that going on around here.
Now, is there still a picket line up on campus over the weekend?
Yes, there are, and I think it's an open-ended strike. And there's an attempt to get other unions to get involved and other, schools in the university system involved. So that's like pretty cool.
This is still what they call a wildcat strike in the sense that the major unions involved have not officially supported the strike, which if they did, that would presumably stop union drivers from crossing over the lines, right?
Yeah, well, there's some kind of back and forth with that, and I've heard that there's a letter of support by the United Auto Workers for the strike. So I don't know exactly what level that was or what exactly is going on with that, but some of the striking workers were telling me about that. So that's really good.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, as listeners, I've been following because we have seen a bomb act and stuff in Canada, and there's the First Nations people, Indigenous people, are blocking shut the entire rail system down in some areas of the country, huge areas of the country. And so there's talk now of a blockade of the 6 choke points along in the U.S. rail system, freight rail system, that are in the essentially in the western United States, where there's 6 different locations where most of the just-in-time manufacturing and coal and oil and all that has to pass through, and so it seems like there's going to be solidarity with the anti-pipeline protesters up in Canada down here in the United States. So
what are the demands of those up in Canada that are shutting down the rail up there?
Basically, it really comes down to honor the sovereignty of Indigenous peoples, nations. Mm-hmm. And if they say they don't want an oil pipeline go through their land, then oil pipeline is not to go through their land. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. And then the other is the defense, basically, of the Earth. As we know, the highest level of carbon dioxide, I think, recorded, at least since people started doing that kind of stuff, was this past month. And that the, you know, that we're having, like, ever-increasing climate emergency, of which shipping more oil is not going to help. So it depends on who, you know, there's many different people that have different angles of it, but there's been solidarity with the original blockade in British Columbia, which was violently suppressed, and there became news that the Canadian Mounted Police had decided that they might have to, they had snipers for the purpose of, and that some document got leaked that they were, one of their policies was potentially to shoot the people blockading. That's a many-year struggle.
I think
very similar to the Navajo Hopi struggle, in that when they couldn't, when the traditional people were opposed to the coal mining and the coal power generating stations in the Four Corners, the U.S. government just set up their own tribal government and then had that government okay everything.
I think there's also, I was reading in today's, I guess it was the Chronicle, I'm not sure, or yesterday's perhaps, that ICE agents have also been emboldened by Fuhrer Trump to crack down more heavily internally because of sanctuary state behavior. And some of the people on they have their payroll do involve things like armored vehicles and snipers, which are kind of...
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, there's kind of a chilling situation going on with... seems like, sadly, I don't know if I had mentioned this on this station, but I kind of predicted that Trump would be emboldened from winning,
acquittal of the impeachment.
Yeah, acquittal of the impeachment, and therefore, and sure enough, he's used it for a whole bunch of different things, including, you know, sending messages to military by firing important people, and cutting off, like frequent flyer program for New York State, and things like that. And there's quite a number of articles in the last few days equating those actions of Trump since his acquittal to activity of other dictators throughout history.
Now, there is a proposed, this is kind of leaping far afield, but there is a proposed ceasefire in Afghanistan, which is supposedly may lead to an actual a truce, I should say, that may lead to a formal ceasefire and withdrawal of at least some U.S. troops from Afghanistan. Do your mini food not bombs is in the Afghani region give you any information about that?
No, the Afghans for Peace, which is the people that have corresponded with us about doing food not bombs in Afghanistan, have not, we've not heard anything but from them. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even sure they really got a food not bombs going, but for a while, they were writing us a lot. Very interested in that.
How about Hong Kong? Do you have a food not bombs there?
We have had a food not bombs in Hong Kong. I do not know if we have one now. There was a very interesting project done for food not bombs where there was a very famous rice artist who made this huge, beautiful design in a chapel in Hong Kong. And then at the end of a month of it being there, that it was swept up and made into the food not bombs made it into meals. But I don't know if the Hong Kong food not bombs still exists. It's a good chance that it still does, but I'm not sure.
I mean, I noticed there's been very...
position is on the riots and everything. But.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed there's very few discussions recently in the media for the last month or two of Hong Kong demonstrations. Coincident with the time that the Trump administration apparently has done its deal with China. There's been some speculation that U.S. Encouragement of these demonstrations in Hong Kong has been a way of putting pressure on China to engage in some kind of trade deals. You have any sense about? I'm not saying you're.
I would not be too surprised at that. Actually, one thing that I've not really heard much explanation from credible sources, but I have noticed when you watch video of the riots in Hong Kong, you see many, many American flags, and there have been some reports of them. I mean, I've also heard people marching through the streets with American flags singing U.S. patriotic songs. So, I did read one report of actual, like, some important, like, U.S. State Department people at a protest but I would not be surprised. It seemed to be similar to, I mean, it's a possibility. It was a lot like the Ukraine, where, you know, you had John McCain and the U.S. ambassador handing out cookies to neo-Nazis right before they started shooting at the police and ultimately overthrowing the government.
On the other hand, you have reports of the protesters getting arrested for buying or possessing these laser beams that are used to screw up the surveillance cameras, which is reminiscent of what happened in East Germany when the wall fell and East Germans began destroying the Stasi cameras in every corner. So I don't quite know who to believe, and about the whole Hong Kong situation, I just noticed the absence of much American media coverage of it, if there is anything happening over there recently.
No, I think there is. Now, on the Western front over here, the United States, we have, Food Not Bombs videotapes a couple of people being arrested and ticketed in Las Vegas under their new anti-homeless ordinance. And
what is that ordinance? Do we know?
And around the Strip and all that area, it's similar to Mills' ideas here. And Chief Mills in Santa Cruz. And so a lot of things are illegal that are basically only people who live outside would do, including blocking sidewalks and so on. So in this particular case, the woman told the filmmaker that she'd been ticketed for $1,000 ticket for blocking the sidewalk. And that the video shows her clearly being in handcuffs, up in the back against the police vehicle. But then it was, the cops were saying that she just was not cooperating and they had to handcuff her to get her to sign the citation. But, so anyway, that was, it was kind of interesting that the local media, this TV company, Channel 3 Las Vegas, was actually somewhat sympathetic to Food Not Bombs and to the people that were being harassed.
What's Food Not Bombs' role over there in Las Vegas? What are they doing, if anything?
Food Not Bombs there, I think, shares food maybe three times a week, but definitely every week, and has for years and years. And one of their co-founders, Gail Sacco, she just recently passed away. So there was like a lot of, memorials, and Food Not Bombs made a huge amount of media because of her, all the work that she had done for homeless people in the community and her relationship to Food Not Bombs. Mm-hmm. And her son is still doing Food Not Bombs, and Joe. And they've had a lots and lots of different, and then over here, sir, this right here. Pull this. Okay, cool. So that is part of, that's going on. Then Tucson Food Not Bombs has been starting to post things because there's a new law in Tucson, or that law maybe isn't new, but is now going to be enforced. So
what law is that?
And that is a law against feeding people in city parks. And so there's a whole bunch of stuff going on with that, which is really interesting. So they have a police, it's called the police Tucson Police Department Park Safety Unit. And they were like announced they should go to the proper soup kitchens that are indoors, and you know, and it, because you are enabling people to you know, to
hang out on the streets.
And no one can take the children to the parks anymore and all that. So there's been a lot of pushback about that, which has really been really good. So,
well, you're right now right next to a, I want to call a Cooperville, a kind of a tent village. Is that, how's that coming along?
It's getting bigger, and it seems very nice. They have flowers and everything right now. So, yeah, it was really good. So, yeah, they seem to be doing pretty good.
Has Food Now Bombs considered reinstituting the porta potty that you once set up about a year ago?
No, I don't know if we're going to do that. We might at some point, but not in the near term. Is that good? Did I fill everything out? I've got to do hours.
Anything else happening in California, Keith, that you want to comment on?
Well, Sarah lost her banner. And so how many? Three and a half? Okay. So, anyway. That's my name. Okay, put your name in there. Okay, cool. So, and then, yeah, it's beautiful down here. Yeah, it says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's, yeah, still 10 tents here. It's really beautiful.
Any reports?
Any
reports of, are the police more sympathetic, more neutral? What kind of response have they been getting, as far as you know?
I don't know. Are the cops nicer now? Okay, yeah. Okay.
You get
Translate for us, Keith.
Okay, so is that good? That's KM and then error.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, thanks. And, so, I forgot what I was talking about.
You were talking about whether, well, I was asking about police response to the tents.
I don't know if there's any kind of thing. I did get a funny call from a policeman who on Wednesday, who asked, who said that they had heard something on a Monday meeting about doing something at Fred Keeley's house. And I was unaware of any such thing. But I thought that was weird. There's one at the meeting that on Monday that he referred to was just Joy, you know.
Well, I know there's some discussion of the vacant restaurant next to Keeley's house.
I think they took one meeting
on Water Street, I think.
And made it into, whoever the informant was misunderstood what was being talked about.
No plans to bomb Keeley's house, for sure.
No, or to do anything to Keeley's house.
Yeah, although he's certainly getting well paid for his facilitator work with the Catch. And
how much is he getting paid? Do you know the...
I think I've heard that... somebody mentioned it, but I don't have any good figures on it. I should be telling folks that you're trying to do several things at once. You're at a table. You're helping, you know, to assist folks who are learning how to serve and prepare food. And you're, you know, receiving...
I'm signing people's hours off. Or like, some people that are got issues with the authorities and they have to work off their hours.
How hard is that to get Food Not Bombs as a community organization that people...
Anybody
involved?
That has any problems with the courts can... Even another, even if you have trouble once in, Alameda County, but you'd rather work here, or you can work in Alameda County, or with Food Not Bombs, we're on all these lists. So,
how many folks would you say are working with you now, if you wish to say?
Oh, right this exact second?
No, in the last month.
Oh, I don't know. In Santa Cruz?
Who are court, who are trying to work off their court.
Oh, yeah, there's always, I would say there's roughly two or three every meal that are working off their hours, maybe four even sometimes. Like right now we've got, there's that. That's like the court stuff. Then we have people that are, when you are doing, you're in a Green Sober House, you have to volunteer a certain number of hours, and those people help us out, and then we sign them off. And then we also have high school kids and middle school kids that need to do service work. We sign them off. And then so one of the people in this interview that I signed off was working off their hours for some kind of offense through the courts. And then the other person was working for Conservation Corps.
Mm-hmm.
One more plate? Yeah, just go. We got blues, Ted. Just go. So, yeah, so there's, so you have those, all these combinations of individuals. And we had a fraternity come and help. Almost every week, we have one or two fraternities or sororities from the university come down.
Mm-hmm.
Then, yeah, we got, there's a lot going on.
How many folks would you say are being served? This is sort of in the middle of the middle of the month.
Not quite yet. On our numbers right now. Okay. Oh, cool. So if I can see this, it's right now it's 167.
That's a lot of people for mid-month, isn't it?
Yep. It's been like that a lot. Oh, I got it. Yeah, it's been an issue.
Hmm.
Kind of crazy that how many people are needing food. And, you know, April 1st is apparently the date for which they're supposed to eliminate food stamps for people that can't prove that they have, they're working 20 hours a week or things like, you know, series of categories like that. And and it turns out that the number of people on that potentially could be cut is 700,000 on April 1st.
We're talking about in California or in the U.S.?
In the United States. But there's a total of 5,500,000 people that will ultimately be affected by the cuts in food stamps. But this first blast, which is in coming up on April 1st, we don't know. We could see like a pretty dramatic increase in numbers of people needing to eat at Funa Bombs, unfortunately.
Hmm.
So now we're up to 170. Well, right now we're at 171 people, but we're getting there's.
Now, a typical meal for Food Not Bombs is what? Like today, what are you serving?
Today we actually kind of short rations, but although we have enough food for everybody, but we had to double up on dishes. So today we had potatoes, fried potatoes. We had rice, two trays of rice, two trays of potatoes, two trays of stir fry. Each one was different. We had, what else? So soup with two pots, 224 pots of soup. We had bread. We have carrots. We had toss salad. We had fruit salad. We had lentils. Looking for bread pudding. So we had all these things here.
And these were all vegan foods?
All vegan food, always. Can I sit on your chair? Okay, I get to sit in the...
Well, I think you need to take a break there, Keith McHenry. I'll give you a chance to sum up if you'd like.
It's 6 o'clock right now, 6:01. It's been pretty nice down here. There was apparently when I went to do an errand, there were some people yelling at each other, but otherwise it's been very chill. It's normal. Tomorrow, Sunday, the 16th of February, 2020, I'm having a party. Everybody, I'm having a party tomorrow here. To celebrate the what would have been my eligibility for parole for my three strikes case.
That was 20 years ago or 25 years ago, right?
25. I was facing 25 to life. Yep. And my court appearance original the one the day before I settled was Valentine's Day. Remember? And we had like a whole Valentine's Day theme for that court appearance. And one of it was that people went through the building and got Valentine's candy from the clerk's offices and stuff and handed it out. risking arrest on the front steps of the courthouse. And it was oddly enough, another one of the court appearances for the Three Stocks happened to be Halloween. We did the same thing. We went and got trick-or-treat candy from all the clerk's offices.
This was in 1995, right?
94. This is all 94.
94, okay.
Yeah, well, the arrests were in 94, and the October was in 94, and then the Valentine's Day was 95.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Well, let us leave these nostalgic times and let you get
that
back to
a great time.
Washing those dishes and getting everything cleared away. And give my regards to the Cooper gang. And again, if people wonder, they can come down today. When you're listening to this broadcast, it's Sunday. So it's the day of your party, actually. That's going to be happening. That'll be happening around what time?
Well, it starts at around 4 o'clock and it ends in the middle of the night.
And will you be holding the union meeting as well at 5, or is that going to be postponed?
No, it'll be a union meeting as part of the party. Yeah.
Well, then I will leave it at that, unless you got more to say.
Yeah. And it's all going well. There's a lot of interesting people here, and it's a lot of fun.
All right.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you, Keith.
Bye-bye. Foodoutbombs.net.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.